Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
I've heard it said that life is a bowl of cherries. But you may be saying, if that's true, then what am I doing in the pits? Well, the truth is, we all find ourselves there at some point, even if we enjoy the cherries most of the time. Maybe you're in the pits more often than you would like, and no one likes being in the pits. So the real question is, now that I'm here, how do I get out? This is Sharon Hoskins. Join Janie and I as we dig down to uncover tips for praying from the pits. Well, Janie, when we find ourselves in the pits of life, it's easy for our flesh to begin a pity party. And it really takes a lot of discipline and purposeful action to get us out of that.
Well, we often need to look at how we got there in the first place. Because, you know, if you are down in the well, you want to see if there's a ladder to where you can climb back up. Sharon, we've talked about how we can walk after our own understanding. We can have bitterness. We can have emotional final authorities. And we don't need to go all back over all of that. So right. Let's just say today, somehow we've gotten ourselves there.
Right.
So let's just delve a little bit into the Psalms, because when you're in the pits, that prayer is a key, mm-hmm. although sometimes you have no desire to pray because you're just too overwhelmed. You can't even think straight.
Right.
And then somebody will say, well, get into the Word of God. And you're thinking that you can't make understanding out of the words. And then you want to claim a promise and you're realizing, I don't know if that's something that really applies to where I am. Is that something valid that mm-hmm. I can really clamp onto? And then you're just all the more overwhelmed. And so let's just start in a little bit right now with just touching on Psalms 40 and 42. The pits really start to get opened up to us when David just said, why is my soul cast down within me? I have no hope. And then in both Psalms 40 and 42.
Well, let me read verse 40, verse 1 and 2.
Great.
Maybe 3.
Okay.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings.
Okay. Now, there's several key things there. First of all, he waited patiently. Mm-hmm. That is not something that we want to do when we're in the pits. Now, we may decide to crawl in the corner and, like an old dog, think we're going to die. That's not waiting patiently.
Okay.
Okay. To wait patiently means that we have to have a relationship with the Lord to where we can trust him, so that we can wait patiently. We need to be relaxed. Our mind doesn't need to be fretting all the time. Proverbs tells us that if you fret and stew, it only leads to evil. So one of the very first things is we need to condition our mind that we're going to get into a state, an attitude, a heart conviction of waiting patiently. All right, and then I think the next thing it says, and he inclined his ear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, in Psalms 116, and I'm going to jump around a little bit here, but it all is coming together, and it's all right in the same neck of the woods, okay?
Okay.
In Psalms 116, after David has been expressing some tough times, he says, I love the Lord because he's heard me. He's heard my voice and my supplication because he inclined his ear to me. Nowhere does it say, and he answered me.
Okay.
So here, David has established a relationship with the Lord that he knows that if he gives his request, his hurt, his pain to the Lord, that that's really sufficient on his part.
That the Lord has heard him,
and
he's inclined his ear to him, and that's it.
And now he can patiently wait.
Okay.
He doesn't have to have that answer right now. But you know, when we are in severe physical pain, sometimes you just say, I don't want to hear that. So what do you do then when you get into physical pain and you know in principle, but you don't know how?
You know in principle that you should.
But how do I practice?
How do I practice it? Right.
Well, I tell you what. These Psalms that we're looking at, Psalms like 113, 112, 114, 15, 16, they're all Psalms of hymns. And then the Lord says, make a joyful noise. He doesn't say you have to be on pitch. You don't mm-hmm. have to be on key. Just, I love you, Lord. And you can just, or just to start to just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I don't feel that right now. The pain is excruciating. But by faith, I'm going to praise you. And then, Sharon, this is just a little side bit. People can check it out on the web. We are not doctors or anything, but we do know that when you sing, you stimulate your vagus nerve.
Okay.
And the vagus nerve calms the nervous system. So you can even sing, or if you even want to do something as common as gargling 3 to 4 times a day, you vibrate the necessary entities in your throat that help to balance your nervous system. So when you are in physical pain, as bad as you may sound like a howling dog, you need to start to sing.
Okay.
You know, thank you, Lord, for holding me in my pain. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me a little relief. I'm not asking that the whole thing be supernaturally healed at this moment, but by faith, I'm going to praise you in song. That's one of the first lessons for getting out of the pits, no matter why you got there.
Okay.
But for people who...
And sometimes it's just situations and things that happen around us. It's life. We end up in a pit because life happens. It just happens.
Christians have those rough waters too.
Right.
Okay.
We can look at the life of David. He wasn't doing anything wrong when Saul was trying to kill him.
Absolutely. Paul, we know from the scriptures, wasn't doing anything wrong after he had totally surrendered to the Lord, but he had to encounter snake bites, shipwrecks, beatings, mm-hmm. imprisonment, loneliness,
right,
cold. All right. So the Christian life can many times be living in the will of the Lord, and you wind up in the pits. Circumstance-wise.
Right.
All right?
Right.
But we have to know then that the circumstances, if they are ordained by the Lord, they're going to be sustained by the Lord.
Okay.
All right? And I believe that that's where faith comes in, and we many times do not choose to exercise a faith that the Lord has given us.
Well, isn't it true that for us to be able to pray ourselves out of the pits with success, shouldn't we do that when we're not in the pits?
Oh, absolutely. Now you've opened up a key word here. And how do we do that when things are status quo or maybe right. more on a positive? And again, this word can be very positive. It can be very negative. But it's the word habits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we need to say is you can create good habits and you can create bad habits. Habits are not a spiritual gift.
Okay.
It is something that we have been given the ability in being able to choose with our will. And God has given us that ability in our DNA.
Right.
That we can form habits. So when I make it a daily choice to wake up praising the Lord, not for just what he's done, but you know what? For his attributes. For who he is. Just not what he does, but for in his love, in his grace. I love the verse over in Timothy where he says that he will remain faithful even if we don't.
Right.
And I think about the times that I have messed up or botched up, and it wasn't on purpose. It was maybe just a poor choice. Maybe it was an untimely thing that I should have stopped and waited and been quiet. Instead, mm-hmm. I've ran like I was on a marathon.
Right.
And I thought, oh, Lord, oh, you know, here I go again. And he says, but I've been faithful the whole time. And that can bring such quietness to the spirit. And when our spirit's quiet and tranquil, hope seems to just burst like a flower when the spring rains come. And so one of the things of getting out of the pits is, what do we need to do, think, and be to keep hope alive?
And it really does take discipline when you're in the pits. It really is it's a battle. You really have to fight your flesh, your thinking, if it's a painful thing, you have to fight that pain, the thoughts that really kind of overtake your thinking when you're in the pits. It is really a battle.
Yes, and we don't realize what we do when we get into that battle, Sharon. Subconsciously, and I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt, we do start to doubt God and His graciousness. If I'm your child, if you're supposed to be taking care of me, then why all of this injustice? How many times have we been misunderstood, misrepresented, misquoted, mistaken? So a lot of times when we're doing the Lord's will, we're being the witness, we're trying to follow the standards and the work that God's given us. When we start to doubt, it starts to show that fear will appear. And then we realize that our love is lacking.
Okay.
All right. So then we need to go back and say, maybe I'm in the pits because the Lord is wanting to draw me into His love more. And He has to allow for somebody to take my words and twist them. And it's just as natural within our natural being, not our spirit-filled being. But when we're in pain, a lot of times we're still living in the natural man who has been crucified. And so we then realize that we have so subtly become offended with God because of what He is allowing.
Okay.
And He knows that that's going to happen. So in Matthew 11:6, the Lord said, blessed. And that blessed is contented, happy, joyful. Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. And then in John 16:1, He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. So He knows that offenses can easily occur, justifiable or not. All right, and then we're in the pits, and now we're offended. We're doubting the goodness of God. We've got so much pain, we can hardly think straight. All right. So where does that bottom line building block come? It comes again from what we said in 1:16. Lord, I am putting everything at your feet. Here's all my complaints. Here's my criticisms. Here's where I think you're failing me. I'm being honest with you, Lord. But as it says in 1:16, that he simply told the Lord, and then he could trust the Lord to start to work it out. And when the Lord sees that heart, that seed of love, no matter how small it might be, he longs to then increase that love and give us some relief or some sustaining ability to endure. Look at Joseph's life. Look at how many times Joseph was misquoted, mishandled, misused,
misrepresented,
forgotten.
Yes.
Right? And yet all of that I'm sure he felt like when he was in the well, that he was in the pits.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
But it was all in preparation for something that was going to save thousands of people from a very real circumstance, hunger and famine. So if we can kind of think, Lord, when I'm in the pits, I need a bigger picture of your game plan. And so I need to learn how to praise you. Or I need to learn to choose. Maybe it's not a learning. Maybe it's just I need to choose to praise you. I need, in praising you, to pour out my heart and then learn to trust you. And when I say learn, I'm really saying invoke the will that God has given us.
Right.
All right. And we are in a culture now to where that goes against the grain. That is discipline.
Yeah. We don't want discipline.
And no, we want comfort, and we want the Lord to provide the comfort. And I'm telling you, comfort is coming, but it's not necessarily when you're in boot training camp.
Right.
I don't know that many soldiers go back at night and say, wow, that was a breeze of a day.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we need to keep these words before us. Maybe our love needs to be increased. That needs to be increased as we get to know the Father. As we get to have the love increased and we get to know the Father, the hope will be restored. And as we add these positive mindsets to us, Sharon, the body, whether it is emotional pain, a mental pain, a spiritual pain, or a physical pain, then has a different way of working the DNA and what gives us comfort. Whether it's peace of mind, whether it's the pain ceases a little bit. I find that when I start to sing, even though I'm usually singing off key now, that joy starts to come back into my heart. And as that joy comes back in, different molecules go to certain receptor sites in the body that changes the receptors that would take the pain in. There's a illustration. You and I can go shopping, and we go to a place that has a lot of people that are infected with flu or cold, and you're just so full of joy. You're wanting to witness. You're just wanting to hug people, even though you know they're coughing and sneezing. But I really had a bad attitude, and I was pretty critical inside. But 48 hours later, you're great. I'm coming down with the sniffles, the coughing, the sneezing. What happened that you didn't have any negative results from it, but I caught it all? It has to do with the molecules and how they hit the receptor sites. And joy molecules will lock up the receptor sites so that the bad molecules, I'm speaking very plain terms now, mm-hmm. so that the bad molecules can't get in those cell receptor sites and make you sick. So when the Lord says the joy of the Lord is your strength, He means physically the joy of the Lord is your strength. He also means that will help you change your mindset. You will be able to communicate differently with Him, which will again cause you to know Him better, which will cause you to increase your hope. Do you hear the circle of positive?
Uh-huh.
It's more than positive. It's divine instruction that we can do. And when that heart of love is engaged and dominant, then we have the situation of a Mary. Mary came when she knew that it was the Lord's time. And He says this in all the Gospels. I can't quote you the chapter and the verse right now. And she brought an alabaster jar of, they think it was spikenard oil, and she anointed Him. And immediately the disciples that were around her and Him were irritated. Why have you allowed her to pour all of this all over you? Don't you know this could have been sold and helped the poor and the needy? Now, do you hear something that could be wrong with that picture? It sounds like that she was not investing the resources that God had given her to the best of her ability. She just wants to lavish it on Him. But the Lord says she has done the better part. And because her heart wanted to lavish something on Me. Now, we're sitting here today, Sharon. What can we do because of our heart towards Him to lavish our heart on Him?
Praise.
Praise. And being creative, and even, and I'm going to use something here that you'll probably laugh at, even being extreme in our love. I don't know about you, but when my husband chooses to show some love in the extreme, I'm on cloud nine for days. I mean, you know, and your children, when you go that extra mile for your children and they see your heart, mother is going more than what mother has to, you just stop and think about what that does. And the Lord says she will be spoken of forever because she lavished her love. She was extreme in her love. Now, for my temperament, that sits really, really well. It also gives you the opportunity to be creative. It helps you get outside the box of legalism standards. Oh, we must do what's best. Hey, the Lord said, you'll always have the poor with you. You'll always have those that are needy. But she is taking advantage of the moment to lavish her love. So that has caused me to even stop to think about how I wake up in the morning. Lord, what can I do for your heart to let you know my heart wants to lavish the love that you've given me mm-hmm. back to you? Because he says that's something that's going to be spoken about forever. That's a pretty big priority for getting out of the pits, is lavishing love.
I think some of that could be just remembering the things that he's done for you already. I mean, you know, looking back, you can say, well, Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your love, for your healing, for all of these things that he has already blessed you with.
Now, this is not a setup, Sharon. This is not a setup. And I will tell our listeners, we did not plan this. But I went back to my concordance and my Strong's this week to look up the word remember. It is listed over 148 times that the scripture tells us to remember. And you've just walked right into the setup. All right. We are to remember. Yeah. We're to remember the not so good things so that they are warnings and we don't repeat them.
Right.
But then we remember the blessed, tender mercies. We can go back and remember the truth of the cross where he really showed his heart for mm-hmm. us. And as we study what he has done for us there, and we need to study that a lot more than what we do.
We can even remember the stories that he's given us in the Old Testament of people who have gone before us, their life and the mistakes they made, the things that they did that really blessed the Lord. And we can repeat those things in our own life.
And we can see his faithfulness and his love being portrayed out. We need to hold a balance. Sometimes I think when I have shared things with you, I've left it more like in a an instruction mode, you know, schooling you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're mentoring. Of course, we know we mentor each other, but, you know, the Lord says to do this and this and this, and the scripture says to do this and this and this. Mm-hmm. But we sometimes miss the extremities of what the Lord says about how he has created our temperaments, whether they're passive or aggressive, to lavish our hearts on him. And that's probably one of the main things for getting our steps of coming out of the pit.
All right, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. Do you want to close us in prayer?
I'd love to. Father, we want to lavish our love on you by just giving you praise for your attributes, for your love, for your faithfulness, for your tender mercies, for all that you are and that will be forevermore, and for all that you do out of your perfect heart of love. And Father, we thank you that we couldn't have that heart if it wasn't for the fact that the Spirit has been faithful in encouraging us and drawing us so that our hearts can open up to who you are. We thank and we praise you for the examples you've given us, for the tools you've given us, Father, of praise, thanksgiving, just so many tools, Father. So we, again, thank you for opening the door, letting us walk through it, you meeting us there, and then you staying with us from now and forevermore. And Father, for anyone who is listening today that maybe would like to walk through that door, we want to invite them to just get into the Word, to go to Romans, and just start to read. You will be faithful in showing them where they need to admit their sinners and where they need to know that they can be saved by grace. And we thank you for that in advance, Father. And it's in your precious name and all that it stands for that we say thank you. Amen.
This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.